A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
My Wrangler jeans from Walmart are legit my favorite go-to pants. They got that slim cut that's always fresh for going out.
Hey, what's up?
They're durable enough, even for my shift.
Water wrap.
And stretchy enough for when I want to kick back and chill with a movie. So basically, they can do it all, and on my budget. I mean, come on. You really can't beat all that. Shop your Wrangler pants at Walmart.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit highfivecasino.com. That's high, the number five, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of Coffee and Code. I'm your host, Ashley Coffee. Coffee and Code is here to help bridge the gap between technology and people through each informative episode. On this show, you'll hear exclusive interviews with experts and innovators in the tech space. No matter your level of expertise or ability, I believe you can be excited, informed, and empowered to learn how the rapidly evolving tech world impacts your daily life. Subscribe to Coffee and Code to be notified when new episodes go live. You can also find me on Twitter at @AshleyCoffee_ and on Instagram at @AshleyRCoffee89. Thanks for listening, and welcome to Coffee and Code. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Coffee and Code. I am so excited to have an awesome guest on the show today, Ashley Huffman. Ashley Huffman is the head of marketing and strategic partnerships at Titan Haptics, and she is an executive at Titan Haptics who leads the international marketing efforts and strategic partnerships in AR, VR gaming, and wearables. Ashley is the founder of this awesome newsletter called All Things Haptics and the co-founder of the Haptics Club, which is a podcast created by members of the industry to support education, cooperation, and inclusion. So definitely give that a check out and make sure to follow Ashley to learn about all the amazing things that she's doing. But without further ado, welcome to the show, Ashley.
Hey, thanks so much for that awesome intro. I'm so grateful to be here. This is great.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I gave a little like mini brief bio overview in your intro here, but definitely give us a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah. My background really is in marketing and public relations. That's kind of where it all began. And I've launched consumer products. Some are like have won awards, featured magazines, and all of those kind of consumer products led to me being able to test out really cool technologies. And gaming and tech is just kind of like my happy space. And that's kind of led me to working at Titan Haptics. I get to play with vests and, you know, VR and all the latest launches. And it's just an amazing space to be able to play in and work in. But yeah, my background is just in marketing, public relations. And in the past, I was also an editor of a magazine. That feels like a past lifetime at this point. and yeah, I love the VR scene probably the most. It's really is something that's ignited my imagination, my excitement, even more for technology. So that's kind of the thing I've been most focused on. And a lot of people know me from Twitter as Chick Tech, and the fact that in my spare time, I like to drive quickly, aka racing my Mustang. And then in the winter in Canada, of course, I love cars still, but I end up writing about it instead of racing.
That is so cool. I noticed you posted something earlier about you're excited for racing season. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. Like, I love your multifaceted background. And I think that really contributes to the awesomeness of the VR industry because it brings such like diverse perspectives, which lend to like more creative experiences, which I think is really cool.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's so much potential there. But it you know, it's not just about gaming. It's not just about you know, avatars and communication or social. It's just like literally everything. That's what gets me so excited about it.
Yeah. And it's crazy because you and I have never physically met before, but we've played games in VR, like, which has been so much fun. Like the mini golf, walkabout golf, like, yeah. Even though we're thousands of miles away, we can still connect with one another, which I think is pretty neat.
Yeah. That has been a lot of fun. Yeah. You kicked my butt, but it's fine.
Next time.
And next time.
Well, Ashley, can you tell us a little bit more about Haptics Club?
Yeah, for sure. Haptics Club is something really near and dear to my heart. It was started by a few of us in the haptics industry, folks from SenseGlove, Interhaptics, and Unity. And it really was this idea that together we can do a whole lot more and we can help other people who are either interested in the space, curious about the space, just learn about it. And so we came together and thought, you know, what if we hosted talks with other experts in the space who are from all different areas. So automotive, game developers, professors, just the whole gambit. And so that's kind of where it all began, is like, how do we share more about the industry and allow other people to see the insights that we get to experience behind the scenes, but in a more upfront way. So it's like learning about the types of haptics that you get in a car, like where it is, like why it's important, the different kind of insights that you need to think about as a product developer. So it's that really is the kind of unlock behind it, is how do we access more people? Because typically the haptics industry is very kind of closed, it's very private. A lot of things just happen behind the scenes that you never get to see or understand or even fathom. So by helping unlock it, we think that it's kind of opens up more cooperation, collaboration, which is something that really every major technology has had to do in order to succeed. You know, USB, you know, audio, it's got to open up and you got to work together to kind of bring it all together. So that's one of our goals.
I love that. That's amazing. And I feel like you will demystify the topic of haptics. Some people can be on various ranges of knowledge of like what exactly haptics are. And it's good to have that community perspective to like help spread that knowledge, like you mentioned. But I want to kind of hone in on, for the audience who are listening and may not be familiar with haptics, can you give us a little description of what they are and maybe some examples of how people might already encounter them in everyday life?
Yeah, absolutely. So haptics, as I like to describe it, is the buzzing you feel in a piece of technology. And most people feel that from their mobile phone or a gaming controller. So your mobile phone will rapidly vibrate, and that's like the alert system. They've created a little motor that vibrates to capture your attention. I kind of consider it like the dog whistle for humans, because that's what it's designed to do. It's designed to like capture your attention immediately, which is why when, you know, someone's phone goes off, like their eyes kind of like shift and change, and it's like, hey, is someone's phone vibrating? So it's kind of funny that it works that way.
Yeah.
So I just see it as a way to for your device to come and communicate with you. So it becomes more of like a two-way communication. So it's like you can engage with your phone and feel when you're pressing buttons on your keyboard, even though there's no buttons there. So it's really like a bridge between you and kind of whatever. It's a touch screen that you're playing with, your laptop, your mouse, your keyboard. It really is haptics in a lot of different technologies these days. But it's just this buzzing you feel, the wiggle, the jostle that is trying to communicate back with you.
Yes, one could say it would be, an output modality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, in your mouse pads, I know my MacBook Pro has the haptics in the mouse pad, and I can adjust the strength of it if I want it to have like a lighter feedback versus a darker or heavier feedback. Lots of potential here, and I hope that the price of general, you know, haptic technology goes down a little bit, so it's a little bit more available to people. But I want to kind of circle back and talk more about how you got involved in the world of haptics and why you're passionate about it.
Yeah. My starting story with haptics was originally with the PlayStation and the DualShock. So really early on, when I was a youngster playing games, that was kind of my first experience. And it was very memorable for me because I love gaming. And that just kind of added this feature of like when I was on a racing game, it would just vibrate and jostle, and it just made it a lot more engaging. So that's kind of where haptics began for me. But the path between that and where I started working in haptics, there's a huge gap. but it kind of like all comes full circle. So I was working at an R&D lab, and that's when I got to play with kind of like the latest tech. We had the Oculus when it first came out. We had the Vive Pro, and that's the Vive Pro is really what kind of set me on the journey of just loving virtual reality and seeing how important haptics are. Because as you know, like when you're in the headset, you're fully kind of engulfed in this experience. You don't really realize what else is happening other than like sound that's coming through. And you've got your controllers, and the controllers are the kind of like the only way that you can touch things. It like makes the world around you tactile. And so when one of the technologies we created was haptics, and we were testing it out with, you know, different tech in gaming controllers and Vive controllers and things like that, that's when I realized that there's a lot of potential to actually feel a whole lot more and to be able to engage in different feelings. Because like if you think about the current state of controllers, they use a similar motor to what's in your mobile phone, a linear resonant actuator. And that actuator, like I mentioned, is meant to capture your attention. It's an alert. It's an alarm. And so it's not designed to feel like deep rumbles. It's meant to be buzzing. So it's like there's some kind of like missing piece to the way that we experience the virtual world, just as a limitation to existing technology. So, you know, that this whole kind of thing of experiencing Waltz of the Wizard and feeling what it's like to be an all-powerful wizard, you know, playing golf and what it's like to, you know, smack a ball and for it to feel as realistic as possible. Like those are the things that have really ignited my passion for this space, because it's like I see the opportunity, I see kind of like limitations, but I also get to play with the latest tech. So it's like I have such an amazing scope of the industry that I'm so grateful that I'm in this place.
That's awesome. I thank you for sharing that story. And I want to hone in on like the fact that so many paths into tech are unconventional these days. It's not your linear path of what you think would happen from like computer science into, you know, a job and whatnot. But this new, in like we're approaching the fourth industrial revolution. There's just so much opportunity, not just for the tech, but like for people as well. So I love that you had that kind of like aha moment where you realize like, this is amazing. This is what I want to do, and have the experience of working in the R&D lab, because that's informs the work that you do, I think, in meaningful ways.
And I would just add to that, because I think you iterated a really important point, which is like my path towards tech is not traditional. I do not have a pinky ring. I am not an engineer. I am not a developer. I am not super technical. And I think that's where a lot of people get scared of trying to go into these kind of industries, is because they think that that's going to be a barrier. And I would say it's not whatsoever. I think there's a lot of opportunity in haptics to tell stories, to help describe technologies, to help bring these technologies to life in ways that it's like there needs to be a bridge the other half from technology into regular human beings trying to understand how epic this tech is and what it does and why it's important. So to anyone out there who is curious but is scared because they're not a scientist or an engineer, Like, you should never let that stop you from engaging in industry that you're interested in, because there's so many different ways that you can fit in and provide value because you're not technical, because you're not an engineer, because you're not a scientist. Like, those are actually benefits in many ways.
Very well said. And plus one to that, plus a million to that, because there's just going to be so many jobs because of this technology. And there's just lots of opportunity. And I think the current scope of what tech is, and I say that in like air quotation marks, is going to change tremendously in the next few years, because with our current view of tech is like, oh, computer, phone, internet, Internet of Things, 5G, AI, like tech in general, but the scope is going to broaden and it's going to be much deeper. And there are going to be jobs that don't even exist right now that we're going to have to like understand, like, oh, my communication skills, my project management skills could fit in this role that happens to be in a technology related industry, but I'm not technical. I don't have to be coding. So I think, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because if anyone's listening that wants to get into tech, don't let that hold you back at all. There's room for everyone, as we would say. Mm-hmm. Let's shift a little bit into the overlap of haptics and VR specifically. So for virtual reality experiences that you're in a headset, you're in an immersive environment, what considerations should builders and creators make when intentionally incorporating haptic designs into immersive experiences? So let's like hone in on the overlap between haptics and VR.
It's such a good question. I think the one that really stands out to me is that no haptics is better than bad haptics, which may sound a bit strange for folks, but if you think about if haptics are playing for every sound that you're experiencing, whether it's something that you as a user are engaging in, the environment is happening, then that's like just an overload of experience, and now it's kind of taking away from it. Haptics should like play in the background in a way that you don't notice it, because it's just becomes a part of the environment, becomes a part of you as the user. Similar for if you're developing and say you're using something like audio to haptics, so you're picking up the audio and you're basically like turning it into haptic effects. If you have like narration in the story, if haptics happen when someone's narrating, like that instantly kind of turns it into bad haptics, because it's like, now it's like, why is someone talking? Why does that have haptics? So there's certain kind of like things you should do and think about, like what kind of haptics need to happen in order for the story that I'm telling to be convincing. Like, not everything needs to feel like something, but it's like, it's similar to audio where it's designed specifically to put you in kind of like a frame of mind. So it's like, maybe touching surfaces is important for the story, so do that. But maybe the wind is not a part of the story in a way that really matters, so you don't need to showcase that. And in some cases you maybe. So I would say, if you're telling a story, like what helps tell the story, and then just be careful about it turning into like everything turns into haptics. Like for us, we do tons of testing so we can understand what makes someone excited versus what makes someone too anxious. Like if you say, for example, have a heartbeat that accelerates, that can be really like so good in a horror game. I'm sure you've played many VR horror games.
Yeah, Resident Evil. Oh my gosh, so good.
Exactly. And so it's like, you can add nuances like the heartbeat in situations, say where you're wounded, and that really like it adds a level of anxiety to the game that's super positive. But if that's happening all the time and you can feel that heartbeat, it's kind of like, you know, if someone's wearing a watch that tells you what your heart rate is at, it's probably just going to explode and tell them, you know, you're in like a terrible shape. You need to stop whatever you're doing. So it's really just a matter of like thinking about what's important for the story and testing it to make sure that you're not overdoing it.
Yeah, that's really well said. I'm curious, how did you learn the right balance there?
For me, oh man, I would consider myself a noob. I'm just like constantly learning of what makes sense. And for me, it's like, I'm one of the people that likes to test things in order to understand them. Mm-hmm. So I'm no designer of haptic effects, although I'd like to tinker with that and come up with things. But yeah, it's like test it out and see what it feels like. And if it's too much, you just got to reel it back in again.
I like that. Trial and error.
Yeah, heck yeah.
What is your personal favorite VR experience that uses haptics in innovative and exciting ways?
I would have to say it's one of the first games I tried. It's Waltz of the Wizard. I just can't get enough of how enchanting that game is. The way that it uses haptics is if someone hasn't played before, you're the character as a wizard and you get to have different effects that you can, you know, churn up as a wizard. So you have like a brew, so you can make like a fire potion, and that fire potion gives you the ability to throw fireballs or have like magnetic fields and, you know, toss things around your room. The haptics in that particular game focus on the superpowers that you have. There's really no other haptic effects that stand out. It's just like a fireball feels like this pulsating in your hand, and as soon as you build up that fireball, it like builds up, and you can feel the vibration intensify, and as soon as you throw it, it's gone, and it's done perfectly timed in that way. It really does feel like it's something releasing from your hand. So for me, that game still really nails the balance between engagement and audio and a haptic feel. It does it so it's just like enough where I don't really notice it's happening, but it enchants me in ways that I just haven't found too much in other games. Like a lot of people would say Beat Saber, because you can feel as you're kind of like striking through the shapes, and I think that that definitely like feels amazing, and if it wasn't there, we'd probably miss it. Half-Life Alyx, it's, you know, the recoil of the weapon. There's a lot of different games that do it well, even the putter and golf games.
All right, Ashley, what are your thoughts on haptics driving more accessible XR experiences for people with disabilities, so such as deaf, hard of hearing, blind, visually impaired, or cognitive disabilities?
I think the special thing about haptics is it's a tool that's designed to bridge accessibility in general. So it's designed to mimic things like pressure of a button. So it is really a communication tool. Kind of one area where it may be lacking is it's hard to turn haptics into a library, because remembering so many different haptic effects is a skill in itself and a language in itself. But I think as a tool, it could do amazing things. Like you could use midair haptics for Braille. You can use haptics for directionality. So say it's in your phone or you've got a module on your shoe, it can actually help you map to different locations or alert you of stops that you wanted to make on your way. So you can imagine something in the case of like your shoe, it'll buzz in different effects. Say like two buzzes to let you know that the store that you're wanted to stop at is coming up, or buzz, long buzz, like buzz and buzz to let you know that there's an intersection coming up. So there's like really simple ways that you can utilize haptics to just kind of create an experience that is silent, but a bit of a superpower to those not in the know. And like, honestly, I don't know like a million ideas, but people in universities, academia, are like working on amazing applications for this. So I think that's something that I would let people know that to look out for is, academia is where people get to experiment the most. They've got tons of money. They've got tons of time. They've got the brain power. And that's one of the areas I like to highlight in my newsletter, is like the kind of really interesting ways that accessibility can be bridged with haptics that may never turn into like a mass consumer opportunity, but at the nonetheless, it's going to, that tech will exist. And hopefully other people will see it and be like, well, maybe I can do this with it, or maybe this is possible. So that's kind of my hope with that.
Yes, absolutely. It's funny that you mentioned that, because when you mentioned midair haptics, I wanted to talk more about that. So a practical application, I used to work in academia, and one of the professors that I worked with, he was basically restoring medieval manuscripts. And what he would do is basically take that book or manuscript and do photogrammetry on it. So get a 3D scan based on a photogrammetric model. And then he did the midair haptics so that you could feel the texture of the page as if you were rubbing your hand over it. But obviously you don't want to do that because it's a, you know, centuries old document. So it was so interesting to kind of see him experimenting through that conceptually and looking for innovative ways. And it was just mind blowing. So plus one to that. And that's another reason why I'll be subscribing to your newsletter.
Awesome. I love that. That sounds really cool. Yeah. To be able to experience things from across the world. So imagine what do the Great Pyramids feel like? You can convey those types of messages with haptics. So that is super exciting. Very cool.
So powerful. So as someone who works directly in the haptic space at Titan Haptics, what are you currently working on that you can talk about?
Ooh, that's a great question. We've got quite a few things happening. For people that don't know, Titan Haptics created a new type of haptic motor called a linear magnetic RAM, and it uses magnetism. That's kind of like the magic behind it. So it doesn't spin like some motors or have springs. It works more like a maglev train. And so we're working on some launches for different sizes of motors that kind of fit different form factors. So that's kind of one of my key focuses, is working with partners in VR and gaming and AR to integrate haptics into their own projects. So I get to work with some of the coolest companies, and we're kind of considered like the fastest path to integrating high definition wideband haptics into projects, which is super cool.
That's so awesome. It sounds like every day is a new fun adventure.
Oh gosh, yes. I feel grateful to be able to play with their tech and to be able to help them convey more. Because if you can imagine, I was kind of describing some of the existing motors that are on the market, and they really like are great at what they do. Like the linear resonant actuator in your phone is like so good at capturing your attention. Like, it's brilliant at that. That's what it's designed to do. But in terms of like being able to convey deep rumbles, the burrs, like it's not physically capable of doing that. And then large motors, the spinning types, ERMs, they're called, like, they don't do high-pitched buzzing. So it's kind of like there's really been like two different types of technologies that have kind of been on the market for some time, and they are so good at what they do, but there hasn't been an in-between. And I think what excites me the most about Titan is we've found a way to create that in-between with the magic of magnets, of all things, and magnetism, which is mind-blowing. I love that because I love magnets.
Yeah. Yeah, that is so cool.
And to be able to help designers who have created a game, they've created like all these new experiences that people have never seen before. So it's like you've created a world that no one's ever been in. It's like it doesn't exist in the real world. It's like a thing you've made up, and all the different elements of that world feel like something, they look like something. And to be able to help someone create that vision in their mind of what it should, like the weapon should feel like, what the what a cloud is going to actually feel like, what the ground is going to be like, what it is like to engage with other characters, like those are entirely new experiences that I think we are the most capable of unlocking. So for me, as like a gamer, as a VR person, like, you know, I get up every day just like, you know, let's go, like let's build cool stuff together.
That's awesome. I love that. It's great where you can work in a role that it doesn't feel like work because you're having fun and doing meaningful stuff that will impact a lot of things to come.
Yeah, I'm definitely grateful for that. Absolutely. There's a lot of potential, and I would encourage anyone that to get their hands on like the latest tech that you can play with as much as possible, because that is a really important way of understanding what people can do now and what the potential is.
100%. And this also opens up another area of opportunity for like the content creator space. I feel like, I know, for example, I think Meta issued like an open bid for people to help build the metaverse. And I think, you know, aside from that, haptics are a great opportunity to help augment experiences in creative and meaningful ways. So I think this can also lead to interesting jobs and opportunities that may not have otherwise been possible, you know, 5-10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know anyone that can name off their favorite haptics designer, at least not yet, but I think it's something that's going to come. Like, people can name who their favorite game designer is, who their favorite audio designer is, but in terms of haptics, like, that's, for me, that's the next unlock. And I think that's where the most potential for this space is, because it's the one that is just kind of just starting to catch up. We're starting to see like behaptics vests and gloves come out, but we're really just at the cusp of this. It's just beginning.
Yeah, speaking of the behaptics vest, our friend Aaron, shout out Aaron, let me try the behaptics vest, and it was incredible. 40 sensors, and he had the little arm things that went along with it, and I was blown away. It like totally took me to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so much potential there for gaming, for music, for movies. Yeah, it can be very magical, very magical. Shout out to Aaron, absolutely.
the creator and of all awesome connections.
That's true.
Well, I want to hear a little bit more about what drives your creative inspiration.
I would say, honestly, it's play. It's kind of funny, like, we grow up as kids and we're allowed to play constantly. That's kind of what we do. We get Play-Doh, we get sand, we get like sticks and glue. And then as we get older, we're told, you know, like, stop playing and get to work. But for me, what's driven me and allowed me to kind of keep that fire has been just like playing games, being creative, painting, like driving has been a big thing for me, of like expressing that, the need for like control and, you know, like modifying my car. Like, there's just like so many different things. So I think for me, the biggest point of that is just play and exploring and looking into questions I don't have answers yet. I think if you're having a rough day and you want to kind of get out of that space because you want to just get into more of like creative thinking, it's take a minute to think about the universe and how vast it is and all the things that we don't know. And for me, that drives like a lot of my exploration, like Lex Fridman, you know, all these UAPs, all the deep topics that are very interesting that we just haven't solved yet.
That's a really refreshing reminder. Thank you. And I think that's so important to think about those questions I don't have answers to. You know, every now and then I'll, you know, look up at the sky and just kind of reflect for a moment. And I realize I don't do this often enough. I need to ponder a bit more to replenish the creative noodle. Like, creativity is such an important aspect of everything that we do, and it's important to nurture that, especially in these like stressful, crazy times.
Yeah, absolutely. And just that disconnect between what you're doing. I know for me, the moment I can focus on something else and I can kind of stop thinking about something that I've been mulling over, trying to solve, it just gives me a chance to just take a break. And then I come at it with a completely different mindset. And that really helps with things of, especially in the space of like technology and trying to help convey messaging in a way that's clear, concise. Like, you really, if you just spend your time spinning your wheels, like, you know, you get the same results. So I implore people to go out and play, whether it's, if you suck at painting, that's okay. Do it anyways. If you're not good at sculpting, like, give it a shot. Like, you know, just try different things and explore.
Yes, yes. You heard it here first, folks. go get creative. Well, Ashley, what kind of advice or resources would you have for those who are listening that want to learn more about haptics?
I would say there are tons of resources that you can find online. Hapticlabs.io is an amazing place to go if you're interested from a, like, a design perspective of understanding how to design and what are the really important aspects. If you're interested in, you know, integrating haptics into a project, you can definitely reach out to me, ashley@titanhaptics.com. You know, a company like mine, it's in our best interest to help you create epic experiences. And people, if they just have questions about haptics, can always ask me. I get a lot of really interesting DMs just on that note,
I'm sure.
People asking questions. And then you gave my shout out to my newsletter, which I appreciate. Yeah. Haptics on Substack, all things haptics. And then of course our podcast, that, like, we meet so many amazing people that share deep insights that have been unlocked for so long. So the haptics club.com, a big shout out to that crew. I love these guys so much because they care so deeply and are just as curious as me, which I appreciate so much.
Awesome. I love that. And for everyone listening, I will be linking all of the resources and links that Ashley just mentioned in the show notes. So that will be available for you to sign up. But Ashley, before we depart today, I just want to say this has been an amazing conversation. I think you've really opened my eyes to the possibilities that haptics can have, not just for VR experiences, but many more experiences. So thank you for taking the time to come on the show today and really share your knowledge and insight with us. This has been a great conversation.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time to talk about haptics and just share more, especially from perspectives from women in technology, and hopefully inspiring others to get excited about it or just join in or learn more.
Yes, yes. Start somewhere. Yes, I 100% agree with that. And if for those that want to follow along with your journey and keep up with your stuff, where can they find you, Ashley?
Probably the place I am the most, don't tell work, but I'm on Twitter, so you can find me at Chick Tech. And then on LinkedIn, you can find me Ashley Huffman as well. And then, you know, if you're curious about cars, I'm on Auto Trader. And if you're curious about the stuff I'm talking about in haptics and VR. I'm also on Medium. So yeah, all the places.
Awesome. all the places. Great. Well, I will link all of that into the show notes. And thank you again. I hope to have you on here again soon. We can do a little part two of haptics maybe in a year or so.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, absolutely.
If you enjoyed today's episode of Coffee and Code, share it with a friend. You can also support this podcast by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts, and you can also share it on social media. It doesn't matter if you have 5 or 500 or 5,000 followers, you have influence. And lastly, don't forget to subscribe to be notified when new episodes go live. Thank you so much for listening to Coffee and Code.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
Walmart has Straight Talk Wireless, so I can keep doing me. Like hitting up all my friends for a last-minute study sesh. Or curating the best pop playlist you've ever heard in your life. And even editing all my socials to keep up with what's new. Oh yeah, I look good. Post it. Which all in all suits my study poppy main character vibes to a T. Period. Find and shop your fave tech at Walmart.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.